The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But when they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. This is the church's historic, remarkable, and audacious prayer on the second Sunday of Christmas. And it reflects our eternal longing to be united to the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Our ancient parents, Adam and Eve, once knew the intimacy of this life. They shared fully in the divine life of the Creator, but tragically lost that relationship. The serpent twisted God's promises into doubt and jealousy. He undermined their faith by convincing them that the Lord was really their enemy. He presented God as a liar and led them to believe that disobeying God was not a death sentence. Satan instead proposed that God was merely preventing them from being like him. He was withholding from them the wisdom of knowing good and evil. And these lies encouraged Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, an act that severed their relationship with the Lord and resulted in their banishment from paradise. Adam and Eve's disobedience has devastated each succeeding generation of humanity. And as a result, God's people have relentlessly pursued a variety of paths to seek and to restore a form of that transcendent and eternal relationship that they lost in the fall. The people who lived in Babel sought to build a city and tower with its top in the heavens. The children of Israel erected and worshiped a golden calf as they wandered the wilderness in a seemingly endless effort to return to the land that the Lord had promised them. While Solomon pursued an understanding mind to govern the Lord's people and discern between good and evil, many of Israel's kings led God's people into the chaos of apostasy and the rejection of the true God. And unfortunately, we cannot say that our efforts to participate in a divine life with God have been any more fruitful. How often have we been so consumed with the trials and burdens of this life that we are unable to join the shepherds in glorifying and praising God for all that we have heard and seen? How many days are we so distracted by the trials of our life, as well as our ambitions, our responsibilities, that we can't rejoice as we pursue the morning star with great joy, let alone offer him the precious treasures that define our lives? Despite these failings, the Lord is still near us. We have the joyous Christmas story that's echoing in our ears. Our Heavenly Father has opened heaven to give us his Son. Within the form of a baby, he hides his all-creating light and humbly cloaks the splendor of his almighty power. And from a lowly manger, Jesus softly calls to us and announces that he has come to free us from the sins that grieve us. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses through his blood. We have new life in him. And while the Christmas story assures us that the Christ child gives us all we need for salvation, today's gospel reminds us that our Lord is the only one capable of bringing us fully into his divine life. We have no sooner put away all of the Christmas gifts than we discover, perhaps to our horror, that Mary and Joseph appear to have lost Jesus. They certainly thought that they were doing everything the angel of the Lord asked them. They married. They escaped Herod's treachery. They fled to Egypt. They returned to Nazareth. They traveled to Jerusalem each year to celebrate Passover. They offered the appropriate sacrifices. And despite these best efforts, Mary and Joseph, like you and me, find themselves in great distress. They discover there is much they do not know. There is much they do not understand. There is much that deters them from finding and keeping Jesus. And yet our Heavenly Father sends his Spirit, the Paraclete, to come alongside Mary and Joseph and lead them to Jesus in the temple, just as he comes alongside us and leads us to Jesus in the sanctuary of this church. In both places, our Lord reveals the Lamb who is sacrificed in the Passover and on the cross. And in the wisdom of our Lord's passion, this Lamb redeems us through his blood, forgives our trespasses, and lavishes on us the riches of his grace. After 3 days of desperate searching, Mary and Joseph find Jesus, and today we find the resurrected Christ. The Son of Man, who Mary and Joseph thought was lost, has been found safe in the temple. The Son of God, who we thought was dead because of our sins, rose after 3 days, and now simultaneously manifests himself to us in his supper, and is seated in heaven with divine glory. Jesus tells his mother that he must be in his Father's house, and today his Spirit directs us to be in his Father's house as well. Here we see with new eyes the temple of our Savior, the temple of his word, the temple of his body, the church, that he and his word create. Here we witness firsthand the wisdom of God and a new divine life, which takes the form of a great exchange. Our Lord humbly cloaks his divinity and puts on our human frame. And in return, he graciously gives us himself. He bestows on us his glorious righteousness. He gives us his very identity and name. He is truly the key and the door who opens the blessed heavenly paradise of heaven to us. The divine life Christ shares with us continues to impact every aspect of our lives. In the miracle of the Incarnation, we have seen Jesus' glory revealed in our human nature. We witness how his love has been made perfect in our weakness. Like Mary and Joseph, we continue to seek Jesus through our own toil and sorrow. And in return, our Lord daily renews us in his image and conforms us to the pattern of his Son. His Holy Spirit nurtures an obedience, a submission that leads us day after day, week after week, to seek after the holiness that we only find at this altar. In this way, Jesus forms us as his disciples and teaches us to treasure all these precious spiritual blessings in our hearts. Solomon reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and today's gospel shows us that our Lord's divine life is the end of wisdom. Like Mary and Joseph and all the faithful, we find the wisdom of Christ in the temple of the Son of God and his Word. Through bread and wine, our Lord's Holy Supper fills us with his body and blood and all the fullness of God. This most divine sacrament transforms our souls and unites us and all things in Christ. It makes us blameless. It makes us holy people. We now live in the mystery of his will, today and every day, until finally, on the last day, we shall acquire possession fully of the divine life that is our eternal inheritance. In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.